This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Mary Lucas with Transitions Life Care. We have a great show lined up for you today. And Mary, we're going to kick things off talking about grief in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, which has devastated the western part of North Carolina. And I just want to get this out there that, you know, this show is pre-recorded. And as we're doing this, Hurricane Milton is about to bear down on Central Florida. So we won't be covering that because it hasn't really happened yet. But we can discuss Helene, and we've got a great guest with us on the line, and that is Alexandra Flaumer. And she is a grief educator and coach with Whole Person Consulting. Alexandra, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason.
You know, it's a very timely topic. Last Friday, my friend reached out to me on Friday morning and was like, do you want to come to Sad Hour? And I was like, what is Sad Hour? And she was like, the world seems heavy. Let's have happy hour, but instead just acknowledge our sadness and call it Sad Hour. And shout out to her, because I was feeling that on Friday. It was just feeling like there's a lot. And it's very heavy. And Helene has caused a lot of grief. And I feel like I just wanted to talk about it. So Alexandra, thanks for coming on the show. Let's dive in. Can you start by explaining what we're feeling? This collective grief is what it feels like. Everyone is going through something very different. Everyone has something. You may know someone. My dad has a house in Western North Carolina. I have friends out there. This collective grief is heavy. How does it differ from individual grief? What is this that we're feeling?
Yeah, thank you so much, Mary. And I just, kudos to your friend, too, for coordinating a Sad Hour. I love that so much. It definitely speaks to my heart right now. And this is a really important conversation for us to have. So collective grief is a phenomenon that occurs when a community has been affected by something very heavy or devastating. So in the case of Hurricane Helene, it's all the varying levels of devastation that has happened to such a broad geographical span of communities. And that has led to a lot of uncertainty at this moment in recovery. It's led to a lot of loss of individuals, loss of memories as historic towns have been wiped, and the unknowing of what this means for the future of our neighbors who are just a few hours away. And this can also occur during times of other tragedies. So when there's, you know, violence that impacts the community, for example, we can see collective grief come forward. So what that means is that we are all connected in some way through a shared heaviness right now. And it is very similar to individual grief in some ways, and it's very different in other ways. So similarly, you know, just like experiencing another type of loss, our grief journey is not linear as individuals, so it can change day to day. And I would, you know, I definitely want to, you will hear me emphasize that a few times today, that where we are at today is not where we are going to be at tomorrow. It is different than what we typically think about grief, because first of all, many people don't know that there's a name for this experience. So they might not have that awareness of like, oh my goodness, we're going about our daily lives, but there's this underlying sadness or unsettledness that is happening. and maybe a desire to connect in different ways. And it's also different because we're communities are very beautiful in the way that they can come together and help create purpose from something very painful. So while it can be, it is very challenging to mourn as a community, we also see some of our communities become the most united in times like we are in right now. I'll pause there.
Yeah, no, that's very helpful. I have been feeling that completely. And as we think about how we help heal together as a community, what do you think about how we can support friends and family members or community members, complete strangers? How can we best support survivors and those who are really dealing with the impacts of Hurricane Helene and who may be struggling with their grief? Maybe they lost their home. Maybe they lost loved ones or pets or memories, whatever it may be. How can we help support those?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say first and foremost is to remember that everybody grieves differently and will have different needs on different days. So the first thing that we can all do as a community is to not judge each other. So I'll give an example of this. One of the ways that we can be affected through collective grief is that feeling of, you probably saw a lot of people get angry last week and are still angry this week. So there's anger coming forward, which is a very, we know, is a very normal emotion to experience when you're experiencing loss. And there's other people that are, you know, a way to cope with the devastation is to find ways to contribute to changing the situation. So we're seeing like these amazing in-kind efforts that are coming forward. And for many people, it's like, this is one sense of control I can get over such an uncontrollable scenario to help make, put my little mark in making it better. So that's some people's journey right now. And there's other people who are frozen. So, and their inaction at this moment doesn't mean that they don't care. And it doesn't mean that they're grieving wrong. They are reacting to a need to preserve or and still in a state of like incomprehension. And that is true for them. And it might not be true for you, and neither is right or wrong. And that might not be the state that they always stay in. So we might see those folks who are sort of paralyzed in their shock and their grief in this moment start acting and creating purpose and being involved in community efforts in a few weeks when our communities in Western North Carolina are still going to need that support. So I would say like the first thing that we can do to support each other is to reserve judgment. And the second piece is, you know, going back to what Brené Brown has taught us for many years is to sit with each other. So that example of your friend reaching out and saying, hey, can we have a sad hour? That is such a beautiful example of one of the most fundamental ways that we can support each other in our varying aspects of community grief. So that means like, hey, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to grab a coffee? This feels heavy right now. How's your heart? And just checking in with each other. I would also say that for some, they're going to desire that connection. They're going to desire processing out loud and knowing like, gosh, I'm, you know, this is very validating to my experience that I just shared with Mary, that I'm feeling really devastated and I'm feeling really exhausted from everything that's going on. And Mary validated that she's going through something similar. So there's this acknowledgement that we can give each other. And there might be some people who are going to keep their, even if you do create a whole space for them, they're going to keep their emotions like close to the chest right now. And that again is another like coping strategy that they need in this moment. So it doesn't mean that they're that there's anything wrong with you or anything wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And we can check in next week and see if that's changed.
It's very helpful for those who may be sitting in that frozen space and just aren't able to move forward in whatever way that looks. What advice do you give to those who are struggling with grief, both personally, maybe at work, and in that frozen space?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I would say if you are sitting in a state of, I can't move or I don't know what to do, honor your emotions. When it comes to our grieving process, as long as you are allowing yourself to process your emotions, your grief journey is perfect to you. And it is not going to be the same as your neighbor next door who's been through something very similar. And so give yourself permission to know that your, perceived inactions in this moment are not a lack of contributing to the community. It's not a lack of your connection to what we are all collectively experiencing right now. So my biggest word for you all is like, allow. Give yourself permission to know that that state that you're currently in is okay. Mm-hmm. And if you find that you're in that space long term, with like with any other grieving process, we have to know when there might be other mental health things that are coming forward where you can tap into resources that are available in our community or go on Psychology Today and get connected with a professional. So just be aware of where you are at. There's anytime we're in a state where something starts becoming more chronic instead of like an acute experience, we want to make sure that we're really taking care of our heart and our minds through additional professionals.
And as Hurricane Milton currently, while we're recording this, is barreling towards Florida, yeah. I have chills saying that. But there's some anticipatory grief that I think some of us are feeling. And for some who are still going through Hurricane Helene cleanup efforts, it may be a traumatic feeling. Can you talk to us a little bit about how we are feeling with Hurricane Milton and the aftermath of Hurricane Helene?
Yeah, thank you for bringing this up. So anticipatory grief is when we are doing just that. We are anticipating another loss. And we're experiencing that in varying ways as well. So for all of us in North Carolina, we are thinking about and monitoring all the devastation in Western North Carolina. So our anticipatory grief could be some thoughts like, I really hope that our state doesn't get hit again. That would be devastating. It could be really focusing on Florida and the other areas that are on the path of destruction in this sense of dread and the worry. If you're getting hooked into social media right now, we have to find the right balance of like being informed and not finding ourselves in a spiral, and it's hard. So I'm personally, my stream's filled with a lot of people who are deciding to stay back in the path of destruction, and so there's anticipatory grief of like what happens to these strangers who decide not to evacuate? What happens if people can't evacuate? So there's a lot of that anticipatory grief that kind of intersects with honestly some anxiety, where we are having that sense of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that where there's another area of anticipatory grief, it's for those who, there's a lot of conversation happening around global warming. And so there's also anticipatory grief happening around like the loss of the harm to our earth, the mm-hmm. loss of our seasons changing. So a lot of different elements happening all in this moment.
As we finish up this segment, can you tell us where our listeners can go to learn more and connect with you and your work?
Yeah. So please, if you're interested in learning a little bit more around collective grief, community grief, I do have a blog posted on my website, which is wholepersonconsulting.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn under the same name. And I have a Instagram that is at wholepersongrief. And that's where I like to keep some of that conversation going. I would also just leave you with some suggestions in supporting each other and holding that space when it comes to the workplace. Know that you have some colleagues that are going to crave connection at work in the state of everything that's going on. Employees don't want to feel ignored. So I would say if you are a senior leader or a business owner, don't let your own freeze response cause you to not hold space for others to talk about what they are experiencing in the workplace, and know that an opportunity for them to connect and share what they're experiencing may also enhance their well-being and their ability to give their best self at work. So think about how we're creating those spaces together at work and in our personal lives, and then also be considerate of the comments that we can make to each other in these moments. There is a big difference between saying, for example, when it comes to our faith, we have a lot of different faiths in this community. There is a big difference between someone saying, I'm going to pray for you, or I'll be praying for your family, versus saying something like, God has a plan for everything, or God has a reason for everything. So one is supportive, the other one could be very dismissive. So think about our words, hold space for yourself, and reserve judgment, and know that we are all bearing different weights of what we're experiencing in the community. And that is even more of an important time for us to come together and support each other and find ways to truly connect and hopefully bring some light from a very devastating situation.
Those are some great suggestions and some great insight from Alexandra Flaumer. You can find her at her website, again, wholepersonconsulting.com. Alexandra, thank you so much for your time today. I thought this was very helpful, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you're doing, holding space for this segment.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to do our part here on Aging Matters, and we've got more to get to, so stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com with your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, as always, alongside Mary Lucas with Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you today?
Doing well. I'm getting my voice back, so forgive my nasally sinus. It's that time of year, you know. It's allergies. I don't know. I've had it for like a week and a half, but here we are. So just forgive my voice.
No, you sound very NPR-ish.
Oh, I like that.
Very, very subdued.
I love that. So yeah. Demure.
There we go. You're just testing out a Halloween audio costume. That's all we're doing. Actually, we're doing something a lot more important and informative than that. We are going to be talking about Medicare, and we're going to be talking about insurance. And we have a great guest here in the studio to help guide us through this conversation, and that's Rodney Butler. Rodney is an insurance agent and owner of the Medicare Butler. Rodney, thanks so much for coming in the studio today.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited about the show because so many people ask about Medicare, and I know not much about it. I'm not of that age, but we're in Medicare enrollment season soon, right?
Yes. Yeah. October 15th starts the annual enrollment period.
And how long does that go through?
It will run through December 7th.
Awesome. So we are right on time here. When the show airs, it's going to be Medicare enrollment season. But Rodney, before we dive into everything, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this business?
Sure. I became a licensed insurance agent in 2007. I did property and casualty mainly, which was home and auto. I got licensed for Medicare in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I became an insurance agent with a company based out of Cary. Mm-hmm. I was one of 12 agents between North Carolina and South Carolina that did Medicare. That's not all I did, but that's where I first started working with older people. And long story short, I had developed a passion for working with the older generation, and I went out on my own in 2019 and started the Medicare Butler.
That's awesome. I love that you found that passion and you started this because it's a much needed service. So talk to us a little about open enrollment period. Why is it important that people pay attention to this time frame we're approaching?
Yes. So it's important because this is the time period where you can make changes to your Medicare. So these Medicare is regulated by the federal government. So you cannot make changes whenever you like. You do have to have enrollment periods, the biggest one being AEP, or annual enrollment period, which runs October 15th through December 7th of every year. During that time, you can make as many changes as you like. Whatever the last thing you did by December 7th is what you will have come January 1st.
Are there any penalties? Like, what if you totally forget this? I'm one that forgets everything. Is there a penalty for a late enrollment, or how can people avoid landing in a situation like that?
Yes, these are really great questions. So there's a couple ways you can get a late enrollment penalty. One is on your Part B. So when you first become eligible for Medicare, if you do not enroll in Part B, when you become eligible, or have what is considered credible coverage, which could be your workplace coverage, for example, then you can accrue a 10% late enrollment penalty. It's a lifetime penalty.
Whoa.
For every 12 months that you go without coverage. The Part D, and I get people every year who come up to me and say, hey, you know, I didn't need any coverage for prescription drugs. I was pretty healthy. I didn't take any medications. I'm 75 now. You know, what do I do? And they do, in fact, incur a lifetime enrollment penalty. So that penalty amounts to 1% for every month they go without coverage of the national baseline Medicare premium.
Wow. Oh, you know, learning something every day. You want to avoid that. So what steps should individuals take to enroll in Medicare? What do you do to start enrollment?
So when somebody's first turning 65, if they decide that they're going to collect Social Security, they will automatically be enrolled in Medicare. If not, they do need to apply. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to go to Medicare.gov and apply your Social Security. Mm-hmm. Walk into a Social Security office and talk to them.
Wonderful. So now let's get to the nitty gritty here, because there's a lot of alphabet language we're using, A, B, C, D, really confusing. And now there's like Medicare Advantage, and that makes some people's minds blow, like just mine too. So what are the different parts of Medicare and what do they cover? We can break it down and go in order here, Part A.
Okay. So I'm going to maybe skip around a little bit.
Go for it.
So when I have a new client come to my office, we generally do a Medicare 101.
Love it.
We don't go too far into the weeds, but we just want to kind of give you a bird's eye view, simplify everything so they understand what it is they have and what they're covering. So your Part A, to keep it simple, is your hospital insurance.
Okay.
That is going to cover your hospital. And the way Medicare Part A works is when you check into the hospital and become an inpatient, you do have a deductible. That deductible for 2024 is a little over $1,600. If you're there for longer than 60 days, you start accruing a per day copayment. And Part B is going to be your doctor's insurance for, again, to keep it simple, lack of better terms. The way your Part B works is you do have a deductible every year. So 2024, that deductible is $240. And then you're responsible for a 20% co-insurance. And that goes on infinitely. You could possibly also be subject to a 15% excess charge. Most people don't have to. They don't run into that. But if the doctor does decide to charge more than the bill, than the Medicare billable amount, then they could also incur a 15% excess charge. So that's A and B. So when we talk about original Medicare, that is what we're referring to.
Okay.
Part D is going to be your prescription drug coverage. So prescription drug coverage are those are plans that are administered by private insurance companies, but they are regulated by the federal government. So they operate in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Part C, and this is, of course, where this gets really confusing. So Part C is a Medicare Advantage plans, and that is also a all-in-one plan, we like to call it. That is going to be also a privatized insurance plan, but will encompass your Part A, your Part B, and most of the time will also include your Part D prescription drugs.
Wow.
So, Mary, where this gets really confusing for people is you've got your A, you've got your B, you've got your C, you've got your D, but also if you decide not to do to go the Advantage route and you pick up what's called a Medicare supplement or a Medigap plan, those also have names after the alphabet. So you've got a plan A and a plan B and a plan D. So it does get really, really confusing for people. And that's what I enjoy helping people is just kind of sift through that and make it simplified and help them find a plan that works better for them.
Wow. So it's A, B, and D go together. And then Part C is if you want all of those together and don't want to worry about A, B, D.
Yeah. In a nutshell, that's a good way to put it.
Look at me. I got it. You hear a lot about Medicare Advantage plans. Mm-hmm. This is a new thing. There's a lot of options out there. How does one go about navigating choosing what's best for them?
Okay. So that's another really, some really good questions. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. And if you go to Google or YouTube, you're going to find all kinds of conflicting information.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest misconceptions that I hear is that Medicare Advantage plans are inferior to Medicare supplement plans.
Right.
Could not be further from the truth. They're just different ways to go about covering your Medicare coverage. So when I meet with a client, there's two things that we're looking at mainly, and that is what prescriptions they're taking and then what doctors that they're seeing. Also having an idea of what their budget is going to look like in the future, or potentially look like, is also going to be a factor in determining which route they want to go. Are they a person who prefers to pay in advance and just have a monthly premium every month, but then not be caught off guard by unexpected expenses? Or are they someone who'd rather save that money and just pay as it's needed?
Why would one choose a Medicare Advantage plan? What is something that you should consider when selecting that plan versus original Medicare?
Okay. Great question. So again, it's going to come down to the person. Oftentimes, though, if they have no idea, we will use their income as kind of a measuring stick.
Okay.
Medicare supplement plans will go up in price as you get older, and we can't always predict what those prices are going to be when you're 70, when you're 75, when you're 85. Medicare Advantage plans often tend to be no premium. So it's more affordable for a lot of people initially and possibly later on. And that's just one of the reasons why somebody would do that.
Yeah. So we've got Rodney Butler here in the studio. He's an insurance agent and owner of the Medicare Butler. And we are talking about all things Medicare as we are in the open enrollment period here. We're going to continue our conversation with Rodney right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF. News, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest in the studio is Rodney Butler. Rodney is an insurance agent and owner of the Medicare Butler, and we are talking about all things Medicare as we are in the early throes of the open enrollment period. And Mary, I'm so glad that we've got Rodney here because Medicare is one of those programs where, you know, we kind of went through the alphabet soup and how confusing that is just to begin with. But this is an area fraught with lots of, I don't know, kind of half-truths and misinformation. Like it's very easy to confuse things when it comes to Medicare.
Absolutely. I'm so curious, Rodney, what is one of the most common things that you hear or encounter in the work that you do when someone comes in and talks to you? What kind of misconceptions are you working with? What is something you hear all the time that drives you crazy?
Yes, thank you for that. So entirely too often, which is understandable, new folks will come into the office and they will say, I'm getting ready to turn 65. I need a plan to supplement my Medicare and I want anything but an Advantage plan. So inevitably we'll dive into that a little bit and find out why they have that preconceived notion. And a lot of the information that I feel people get in regards to Advantage plans are just not correct. Mm-hmm. And Advantage plans they've come a long way since they first started. So it used to be that people who had income and means would have a supplement and people who did not would have an Advantage plan. Mm-hmm. More people had supplements than had Advantage plans, and that is changing. So I think this is the first year ever where more people have an Advantage plan than a supplement plan. Mm-hmm. So it is no longer a discussion necessarily about money and how much you have. It's becoming more about how you prefer to handle it. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that people fear when they get an Advantage plan is having a network, that they're not going to have things covered. So one thing that I remind them all is that Medicare Advantage plans have to, by law, at least cover everything that original Medicare covers. Mm. So you're not missing out on coverages by going the Advantage plan route.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I feel like that's the way that we're moving into Advantage plans. Do you see that further down the line that everyone's going to be an Advantage plan?
Yes. I don't think everyone, but definitely more. Okay. I see that trend continuing, especially with a lot of changes that are taking place.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to get used to it. So what costs should individuals expect when enrolling for Medicare? You're coming in, you're signing up. What are we looking at? Premiums, deductibles, et cetera. What should someone be prepared for?
Yes. So depends on which route you go. But as far as original Medicare, the A and B, if you've worked 10 years and paid taxes or been married to someone who's worked 10 years and paid taxes, generally the federal government will pick up the Part A tab for you. So you will not pay a premium for Part A. Part B for 2024 has a premium of $174.70. That will probably be going up a little bit next year. It usually does. We don't know what that number is as of today. But everyone on Medicare A and B, regardless of whether they have a supplement plan or an Advantage plan, will need to pay their premium and hang on to that. In addition to that, if they pick up a supplement route, to cover their coinsurance and deductibles for Medicare, they will pay a premium for that. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea, shooting from the hip, 65-year-old today, Wake County male would pay roughly $100 a month, mm-hmm. For a supplement, a good supplement, with a good carrier. That's the low end, and that would go up as they age. And then they'd have to also purchase a Part D plan, which could be anywhere from $0 to $100 plus, depending on what plan they pick. If someone goes the Advantage route, they'll also pay for their Part B, which is $174.70. This is for people whose incomes are under $100,000 for an individual, about mm-hmm. $206,000 for a couple. If they make more than that, they may pay a little bit more for their Part B. But generally, the Part B is going to be $174.70. If they buy an Advantage plan, a lot of those do not cost anything at all. Mm-hmm. And that will include their Part D as well. And they often include additional coverages like vision, hearing, dental, over-the-counter products, gym memberships, and that sort of thing.
Oh, wow. Are there any programs available to help low-income individuals with Medicare costs?
Absolutely. So LIS is a big one. I help people sign up for that every year. That is low income subsidy. It's also referred to as extra help. And if someone does have a low income, that program, it's a federal program that will help pay their Part D premiums, deductibles, and it will lower the cost of their prescriptions.
It's good to know. You hear the word dual eligible a lot of people being dual eligible. Can you explain to us what that means?
Absolutely. So I'm also going to address this big elephant that we see with the TV commercials and stuff. So what a dual eligible is somebody who has Medicaid and Medicare A and B. When somebody has Medicaid and A and B, then oftentimes they'll qualify for what's called a dual plan. So let's go back to the TV commercials that we're seeing with Joe Namath and everybody. You know, they're going to give them $4,000 of dental and all this cool stuff, shopping card. So the plans that they're using on TV are real plans. It's just most of us don't qualify for them because they want you to call in into their call center, right, where they can gather all your information. And if you like having 100 calls a day every day for the rest of your life, you should definitely call one of those TV commercials. But they are great plans for people who need them. I do have quite a few clients who didn't even know they qualified for Medicaid when I met them. So I did go through the processes. We got them the LIS, we got the Medicaid, and then eventually enrolled them into a dual plan, which they're terrific if you qualify. Just know that most of us don't qualify, and you have a good idea if you qualify for Medicaid, I think. And if you don't, give me a call and we'll figure it out.
That's good to know. Can you explain to us and our listeners how Medicare handles preventative services? We've touched on it a little bit, but like wellness checks, physicals, prevention, where does that fall?
Yeah, well, when you first become eligible for Medicare, there is an initial wellness visit that you qualify for where they kind of explain how things are going to work. After that, you have an annual wellness visit that is provided by Medicare. Medicare Advantage plans also include the wellness visits, and they will also oftentimes send someone to your house to do an in-home wellness check, and that's usually provided at no cost.
For the Advantage plans?
Yes.
Wow, but not AB if you're on AB typically.
I do not know for certain. So I'm going to go ahead and say this too. So when I get new clients, I always promise them three things.
Mm-hmm.
One, I will always return their phone call, almost always within 24 hours.
Love that.
Two, I'll always put their needs above my own. Mm-hmm. And I know if I do that, the Lord will take care of me, and he has.
Mm-hmm.
But three, I'll never yes you. If I'm not sure about an answer, you know, I'm not going to just kind of nod my head. And yeah.
Right.
If I'm not sure, I'm going to be up front with you and we'll get you the correct information. And I wanted to say that now because I'm honestly not 100% sure if Medicare B sends somebody to your house or not.
Yeah, we don't know the answer to everything. Yeah. We do some work with Transitions Life Care with Medicare Advantage plans, providing palliative care in the home. And we partner directly with the Advantage plan. And so the patient or the beneficiary never knows that it's Transitions. We're just a part of their Medicare Advantage plan, but we provide that palliative care in the home sometimes. So an added benefit of Medicare, some Medicare Advantage plans is being able to have that as well.
Well, we've got Rodney Butler in the studio. Rodney is an insurance agent and owner of the Medicare Butler, and we are talking conveniently all things Medicare, and we're going to continue our conversation with Rodney right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Transitionslifecare.org. Plenty of resources and information for you there. If you have questions, there's contact information as well. Transitions Life Care. www.insuranceagent.org. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest in the studio is Rodney, and Rodney Butler is an insurance agent and owner of the Medicare Butler. And we're talking about all things Medicare. And Mary, we've covered a lot of ground so far in the program, and we've got one more segment here with Rodney, so let's get to it.
Yes, absolutely. Rodney, what kind of resources are available for people who have questions about their options as they get started in this process?
Okay, so of course I'm going to say to reach out to the Medicare Butler.
Yes.
We're a great resource. But if you'd like to do something before that, or if you just don't want to reach out to somebody, Medicare.gov is a terrific site. And you can go to Medicare.gov if you're trying to help your mother or your father, or you're just looking for yourself. You can plug in all of your prescriptions, your doctors, and you can kind of look across the spectrum and see what plans are available. And that's going to include every plan. I would just caution, you know, not to take it as 100% accurate, because nothing's 100% accurate. But that would give you a good idea of where to start. Alternately, you know, you could give us a call or reach out to or any licensed agent who does Medicare. I would also just kind of keep in mind there's a lot of agents that do Medicare supplements but are not licensed to do Advantage plans or Part D prescription drug plans. So just make sure you're working with somebody who is actually licensed and up to date with that information, and they can help sift through all the madness.
Interesting. Do you ever have people come in, I can imagine you do, that are trying to help somebody else navigate the process and just are kind of clueless and like, help?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
What is something you say to those people when they come in, and how do you help navigate that?
I say, don't worry, you're in the right place.
Good. Love it. Easy enough. What for someone who's approaching Medicare enrollment for the first time, where do you start and what advice do you give to kind of help get them going?
Okay. So sounds a little cliche, but again, I'm going to say reach out to a licensed agent to help you navigate that. So many people have very unique situations, and those do call to look at their situation individually. For instance, there's a potential client I'm working with now he's going on COBRA, or he's already on COBRA, has not signed up for his Part B. What do you do, right? So that's a different situation than somebody who is retiring when they turn 65, already have signed up for their Social Security, where they're already going to be enrolled in Medicare A and B. You have people who are going to continue to work, right? What do they do? Like, do they have to sign up for A and B? Does their workplace insurance constitute credible coverage? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions. So, you know, again, it's not, there's no blanket statement that I could give for that. So I would say the best resource is to talk to somebody who lives and breathes and dreams about Medicare.
That's good to know. So where can listeners go for more information about you and how they can get assistance regarding their options?
You can go to themedicarebutler.com. You can give us a call at 919-628-4805. My office is in Fuquay. We do operate by appointment only. And if you just Google the Medicare Butler, it'll pop right up. If you Google Medicare agents in Fuquay, will pop right up. But we service all of North Carolina, and we also help people in South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas.
Wow. All right.
Excellent. TheMedicareButler.com or that phone number, 919-628-4805. Rodney Butler, insurance agent and owner of the Medicare Butler, thank you so much for your time and for really doing a thorough and helpful explanation of Medicare, because you know, as we've addressed many times, this is a highly confusing field and something that, you know, I know when I'm in when it's time for me to take Medicare, I'm going to be one of these people waiting till December 6th.
That's right.
To figure out what to do. So we appreciate you being a resource early in the game here.
Thanks, guys. This was fun. I really appreciate it.
Well, that is going to do it for us today. On behalf of Mary Lucas and Transitions Life Care, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.